Amen and amen to that. We're going to be in Genesis chapter number 31 this morning, if you'll get your Bibles and go there. I recognize that we have a number of guests here today, so just to catch you up with where we are in our morning Bible studies, we are preaching through the book of Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible. It was a book that was written long after the events of the book occurred. So Moses is the writer of Genesis. Moses did not even live till about 400 years after the last event of Genesis occurs. And yet, he had a very specific purpose in writing the book. And really, it's like this. Moses, as many of you might know, he was the deliverer of Israel. Israel was in Egyptian bondage, had been in slavery literally for 400 years. And then God heard their cry and heard their groaning, and he sent Moses to be their deliverer. And so Moses then was given the commission by God to record these words. And Genesis is first. And we have to ask ourselves why. And the reason why is because they had been essentially away from God for 400 years. And Moses is writing to them to remind them about where they came from. You know, I think it's a really good moment for us in our country to just pause and just say, hey, like, where are we from? Where do we come from? What's the beginning of all this? That's why I've labeled this series Starting Point. And basically, God gives them two things to remember. Number one, he says, remember, I created you. That's in chapters 1 through 11. Chapters 1 through 11 of the book of Genesis record for us the creation of the beginning of the world. God created the universe, the world, the stars, the skies, the land, the water, all the people, animals, in six literal 24-hour days. That's what the Bible says. And then God populated the earth with people, and there's all kinds of stories about how he grew the population of the earth. And then through Noah, he's going to then bring about another group of people called Israel. And so the second reason God wrote Genesis is to remind Israel not only that he created them, but also that God called them. He had a special plan for their life, starting with a guy named Abraham. And that's in chapter 12. Chapters 12 through 50 of Genesis is a record of what we would call the patriarchs of Israel. That is the first founding fathers of this nation, Israel, these people. And never forget this, the big picture of Genesis is yes, God created and yes, God called Israel, but the real big narrative is that God used Israel to bring about Jesus. And so Jesus, as in every other book of the Bible, is the real hero. And so when you get into Genesis, where we are, chapter 31, we're talking about a guy named Jacob. Now, Jacob is the third patriarch. You've got Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. So this is Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And Jacob had to run from his brother Esau because they had a conflict. And he went to the land where his family was called out of. And there he engaged a guy named Laban. Okay, and Laban had two daughters named Rachel and Leah. And ultimately, Jacob is there in Laban's house for 20 years. He is there for 7 years working for Rachel, which ended up being Leah. And you can go listen to a few sermons back if you want to catch that whole story. It was quite interesting, wasn't it? And then he served 7 more years for Rachel. And then he serves 6 more years for his inheritance, his property. So this guy's been there for 20 years, away from home, away from his family, secured his wife, has now 12 children, and he's got all of these flocks that God blessed him with, which in that day would have been equivalent to like building out his 401k. This guy's now rich, he's wealthy, he's got his family secured, God has fulfilled his promises to Jacob that I'm gonna multiply you, I'm gonna make you a great nation. And now in Genesis chapter 31, I'm gonna read you the story about Jacob's call to go back to the land of Canaan. Okay? So with that thought in mind, let's look at chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And if it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you are anointed, the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's now then. Look at this phrase. Whatever God has said to you, do it. I want to label the message this morning a reliable guide for your journey. A reliable guide for your journey. When I first started in ministry, my wife and I were in an itinerant ministry, which means we would travel. I didn't have a church like this. We traveled, and I spoke in all kinds of different churches. In fact, I last counted, I have spoken in 550 different camps or conferences or churches all over the country, and been to 48 states, several foreign countries. And back in those days, okay, way back, like when men were men and women were too, kind of thing, right? Back in those days, we didn't have our phones as GPS. I mean, today, if you wanted to go anywhere in this city or anywhere in this country for that matter, and you didn't know where you were going, and most of you have been living here for like 10 years and you still don't know where you're going, right? Around Jacksonville, what do, man? I get in my car and I punch in an address or a location, and bang, it just takes me right there turn by turn. But back in those days, we didn't have those phones, those sophisticated phones. Now, some of you old-timers are going to really love this morning. I became very good friends with the Rand McNally Road Atlas, okay? And here's where you got them. We had an RV, so we had this huge truck and a 37-foot RV that we pulled around. That's what we lived in. And we would, there were very limited places to stop traveling when you traveled like that. But there were two. Pilot Truck Centers, okay? That was always a great place to go. And then, of course, Cracker Barrel. Like, I'm talking like OG Cracker Barrel, like the real Cracker Barrel. Not the new one, the real one. And if you've ever noticed, at Cracker Barrel, they have RV slots. So you could pull up in the parking lot and pull your whole RV in there. It was like the only place in America you could ever eat. In fact, one time Angie and I were traveling, we were so tired of eating at Cracker Barrel that I decided we were going to go to a Chili's one time. And I said, you know what, I'll find a place to park. Let me tell you something. When you have a 37-foot trailer, there's just not an easy place to park. And so we turned in, and I was gonna whip around this hotel, and they had the hotel was barricaded in the back. So I pulled my trailer down probably like 100 yards into this parking lot filled with cars, and I hit, and look, there's no way to just turn around. So now I am like backing up all the way out of this place, and I mean, people are staring at me out of their hotel. I'm looking crazy. I was in a non-navigated spot. But man, we'd go every year. We go to that Cracker Barrel, man, and we'd go, and about springtime, they'd release the next year, Rand McNally. And they had a big one, 11 by 15, this huge atlas. And man, we would get that thing out, and we'd be going from city to city, and Angie over here, my navigational partner, she'd roll this, it was bigger than her, she rolled this map out, and it would tell us where to go, what roads to take, and all that sort of thing. And then, of course, somewhere along the line, Garmin came out. You guys remember that? Remember when you had the huge Garmin thing, and you would like suction cup it up to the, you know, the dashboard, or up on your windshield? Even some of them had those little like sandbags under them. You remember those? And then, of course, somewhere along the line, Garmin got traded in for our phones. And man, I mean, you don't want to be traveling somewhere that you don't know where you're going without a reliable guide. And what you find in Genesis chapter 31 is this. Basically, most of what I just read to you is a conversation. It's a conversation between Jacob and his wives. And basically, he says this, God's called me to go home. And this is all the things that God has done for us while we've been here. And based upon this, it's time for us to go. And the girls look at him and go, hey, everything we have came from God. Nothing that we have is connected to our father anymore. Whatever God said to you to do, do it. And essentially, if I were to summarize what happens in the first part of this chapter, I would say this. Based upon God's reliable guidance in the past, we can be sure of God's reliable guidance for the future. Amen. And in this text, I'm confronted with that reality, and I want to say that to you. That's good information for everybody in this room to take with you today. God has guided in the past, and God will guide on in the future. And may I say this about you personally? There's a good word for you personally. There's a good word for us corporately. And may I say this? There's a good word for us nationally. I mean, if ever, right now, people need to be reminded how we got here and where we are going, it is today. Let's not forget that even if you are not consciously aware of how God has directed your life up to this point, I want to assure you, He has surely been there and guided you to this point. And it is God that can take all of us to the final destination to which we all are going. And so today, I want to take a look at Genesis chapter number 31, and I want you to see five navigational points that God provided for Jacob on his journey. Based upon these navigational points, we can be sure that these navigational points are also certain for our future. So let me give you these. They'll be quick, I promise. Number one, I want you to see that God will provide clarity for your journey. In verses 1-3, Jacob says this, look, I've heard some things, and I've seen some things that are troubling me. He said, I've heard what Laban's other sons are saying, and I've seen the way that Laban is treating me. And sometimes what we see and what we hear around us can create confusion. It can create questions. And folks, I know there's probably somebody here today that maybe the reason you showed up today was because you've been seeing some things. You've been hearing some things. And it's created some questions or some confusion about what to do. But look at verse number three. He says in verse number 3, when I was seeing this and hearing this, verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob. I like what Warren Wiersbe said here. The same way God leads his people then is the same way God leads his people today. Listen to this. Here's how you can know God is providing clarity for you. Sometimes it is the inner witness of your own heart. Something happens and you are troubled. Sometimes it is the circumstances of your life that force you and cause you to consider a new path. But always, the final authority on all things is the truth of God's word. So if you are hearing some things today and you are seeing some things in your life and you're wondering what to do, may I advise you to look to the word of God. Psalm 1 says it like this, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not sit in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, folks, there's no doubt if you have been on social media for the last 3 days, and I'm sure all of you have, maybe even a little bit more than normal, You want to know what you're going to see on social media right now? You're going to see the way of sinners. You're going to see the seat of the scornful. And everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a voice. Folks, even people that should not have a voice have been given a microphone. And can I say this to you today? Just because somebody has a microphone doesn't mean they're right. May I say that you should turn down the microphones of this earth and you should turn up the speaker of God's word and let God's word speak to your heart. Maybe you're here today and you're up against a major life decision. Maybe you're up against direction for the next steps of your future. Listen to God's word. Maybe you're here and you're uncertain about your own personal identity as you wade through the floodwaters of your own mistakes and you're not sure what to believe about yourself. You're not sure what to believe about your family. You're not supposed to, you don't know what to do with all this guilt and lack of direction and mistakes in your past. Listen to the word of God. You may have come here today uncertain about difficult circumstances that you are facing right now. Is not life unpredictable? Circumstances like illness, job loss, death of a loved one, national crisis, assassination of a leader. What does that do? Sometimes it makes us think, what does the future hold? What about my life? I mean, folks, I wonder, have you given any thought to that recently? What about my life? A 31-year-old father and husband was cut down on a day that was just like any other for him. Should it not give everybody pause to think, what if I'm 31? What if I'm 21? What if I'm 11? What if I'm 51? And I'm out here like James 5 says, or James 4 says, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. I mean, James 4 sounds like it is written to Americans today, just waking up every day saying, how am I going to make money? How am I going to build my investments? What am I going to do about this trade and this purchase? And how am I going to do this? And how am I going to build my empire? And you know what God says? God says, listen, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no certainty that you're going to live tomorrow. This is why Proverbs says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Somebody said it like this, tomorrow is a date on a fool's calendar. So what do you do today? Let me give you three pieces of advice today. First of all, trust God today. Proverbs 3 says it like this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, you can trust God. Number two, you can follow God. Psalm 119, 105 says, his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You don't know what to do. Trust God. You don't know what to do. Follow God. You don't know what to do. Ask God. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Direction, answers, And leadership is yours for the taking. And we have not because we ask not. Dear friend, I want you to know God will provide clarity for your journey. Number two, God will provide accompaniment for your journey. Look at verse 3. In verse number 3, watch this. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family. So I will be with you. Now, verse 4, Jacob is now going to rehearse this to his wives. And notice what it says here in quotes, middle verse 4. I see your father's countenance. It is not favorable to me as before. Watch this. But the Lord of my father has been with me. So God says, I've been with you. And now Jacob, when he's given the testimony to his wives, say, in fact, God has been with me. Now, folks, I want you to know God says he will be with you, right? But experience also shows us that, in fact, God has been with us. And did you know in the Bible, when God calls his people to do anything, almost always, the commandment to follow him, the commandment to do whatever you are called to do, is accompanied with a promise that he will be with you? Did you know in Jacob, back in Genesis chapter 28, when he was called by God, what did God say? Verse 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you. Remember, in a few chapters, we're going to study the life of Joseph. You know what the Bible says about Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery and his world was turned upside down? It says this in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 that God called Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. And you know what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12? I will be with you. Joshua took over for Moses after he died. He was scared out of his mind. He did not know what to do. And what did God say to Joshua? Joshua 1, 5, and 9. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Gideon was called by God to lead Israel in the book of Judges, scared out of his mind. Didn't want to do it. And God said in Judges chapter 6, I will be with you. God said to David in 1 Samuel 18, you're going to be king. I will be with you. He says to the church when he tells us to go witness and be bold for him, what does he say? Lo, I am with you always to the end of the earth. I want to tell you, there's not a whole lot you can count on in this life. There's not a lot of guarantees out there, but I will give you this one guarantee. When you follow God, he will be with you. So he provides his clarity for your journey. He provides his accompaniment for your journey. Number three, he provides protection for your journey. Notice verse 6. And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 7 or 10 times. Watch this. But God did not allow him to hurt me. God did not allow him to hurt me. Folks, listen, here's another thing you can count on in your journey. God will not let someone hurt you. You say, wait a second, I've been hurt by people. So was Jacob. He's the one that said, look at what Laban did to me. Look at what Laban did. He changed my wages 10 times. He lied to me. He wasn't good on his word. He wasn't an honorable man. Look at this mess I'm in. And yet God turns it, then it's under this, in the same breath, he says, God didn't let him touch me. Now think about that. How is that true? That you could be hurt and wounded and violated and mistreated by someone else, and at the same time, God protects you. Think about this, what he says in the book of Psalms, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You realize that the Bible is clear that people can try to attack you, can try to harm you, but God has got your back and God raises up his shield. Psalm 3 and verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul says, everybody ran away from me. I had nobody. When I was in court, standing up for the gospel, everybody took off. Nobody stood with me. And then he says this, but the Lord stood with me. And the Lord delivered me. And watch this, and he will deliver me. Now, I know sometimes you still are confused when you look at these things, right? How could this work? How does this true? I have actually been hurt. But let me tell you this. Sometimes our view of hurt is only through the lens of the temporary. It is only through our limited lens. Can I tell you this? God has a much broader lens on the perspective than you do. And sometimes what we look at as hurtful, God looks at as good, does he not? Does he not say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God works all things together for good? And how many of you would agree that in some of the more difficult times of your life, God has ministered to you, God has helped you. How about this? God has grown you, God has shaped you. And you may have looked at it like harm and difficulty when you were going through it, but oftentimes on the other end, you say what? God took care of me, and he always will. Amen. Number four, I want you to see this. God will provide sovereignty for your journey. Now, this is an interesting thought. Look down at verse number 9. When I saw this, it jumped out of the pages at me. Look at what he says. He says, look, first of all, in verse 8, he says, listen, if Laban said that these will be yours, God provided that. God, if he said it was going to be speckled lambs you could have, God gave speckled lambs. He said it was going to be striped lambs you're going to have, God gave striped lambs. We talked about that last week. But then he says this. Look at this statement of verse number 9. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and has given them to me. As I was sitting there thinking about this verse all week, the thought crossed my mind, God gives and God takes away. God gives and God takes away. Where's that verse come from? Job. Remember when Job, his wife said, you just need to curse God and die. And he says, I need to worship God anyways. And he said this, God gave and God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, listen, God is in the giving and taking business sovereignly. And what does God want you to do in a moment where you are confused and you're not sure of where to go? I'm telling you what he wants you to do. He wants you to trust in his sovereignty. You know what sovereignty means? It means God reigns. Sovereign. It means God is in charge. It means God rules. And folks, I've heard people say this before. God's sovereignty is a soft pillow to lay your head on at night. Isn't it good to know when something as chaotic has happened in our country this week? Isn't it good to know that somebody's reigning over it all? That someone can make sense of it all? And you and I will likely never be able to make sense of any of it until we get to heaven. But I'm telling you right now, there's one person that's not confused. There's one person that's not wringing his hands going, what am I supposed to do now? There's one person that's not looking at the United States of America going, I don't know what to do about this. And that is God. And God rules over it all. And if you cannot embrace that and you cannot accept that, I'm telling you, you're going to have a real hard time. Watch this. With the inevitable difficulties that your life will bring to you. God will provide sovereignty. And finally, number five, God will provide remembrance. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 13. Verse 13, it says this, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. I am the God of Bethel. Now what is he saying? Jacob, you've been there for 20 years, but let me tell you something. I haven't forgot about you. I'm saying God is going to provide remembrance for your journey. Listen, there might be times in your journey where you slip. There may be people in this room, maybe you're even here today, and look, you look at the like last several weeks, months, maybe even years. And maybe the real story of your life has not been moving toward God. Maybe it's actually been moving away from God. You say, well, what do you got to say about that? Here's what I got to say about that. You may have forgotten about God, but God has never forgotten about you. He says, I remember you. I remember 20 years ago. I haven't forgot that. I'm the God of Bethel. I remember what you said to me. I remember the promises you made to me. It never changed. You want to know what's interesting? When he talks to Jacob, he says, I'm the God of Bethel. But when he talks to Israel later on, you want to know what he says about it? He says, I'm the God of Jacob. I love that. I have been surprised in this series how many times the Bible says God of Jacob. And you want to know what I take away from that? Such encouragement. Because if you've been following along this story, this is what you know. Jacob was messed up, man. He was a messed up dude. He was a liar. He was a manipulator. He was a thief. And when God says, I'm the God of Jacob, you want to know who he's talking to? All of us out there that are messed up. All of us out there that have manipulated. All of us out there that have done things and said things that we weren't supposed to say or do. And here's what God says. I love you anyways. You can't change my covenant. You can't change my love towards you. You can't change my affection towards you. I want to say this to you by way of encouragement today. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I want to tell you this today. You could never do anything to make God love you any less than he loves you right now. And you could not do anything to make God love you any more than he loves you right now. He is the God of Jacob. He is the God who never forgets who he is, never forgets what he says, never forgets what he's done. He is a reliable guide. Let me say this to you this morning. The old songwriter put it this way. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Now let me give you this thought before I'm done. God is a reliable guide here. But God is a reliable guide all the way to heaven. And let me assure you this today. There is only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus. And there is only one person that's going to get you there, and that is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. This is why Psalm says it like this: Oh God, you are our God forever and ever, and he will be your guide, watch this, even unto death. Psalm 73, 24, you guide me with your counsel, watch this, and afterward, you take me to glory. Now, friend, here's what I want to tell you. You can trust God to guide you every single day of your life here. But let me challenge you. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to guide you to your destination in heaven. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, that is not your destination. Now, listen very carefully. I think this is a good, fitting word for this hour, for this message. And for somebody that's listening to me, you may have come all this way today to hear me say what I'm getting ready to say to you right now. Listen. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes. That's good. You believe in God? Believe also in Jesus. Yep. In my Father's house are many mansions. Well, if it were not so, I would have told you. I, Jesus says, go to prepare a place for you. And I will, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas speaks up and goes, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus answers with these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. He is a reliable guide for your journey, and he is a reliable guide for your desired destination. Would you trust him today? Let's pray together.